Hello, my name is Sarah Rogenbuck, and I'm one of the providers here at Kaczmarski Hearing Services. Here we are on podcast number 3. So again, I'd like to introduce the owner of Kaczmarski Hearing Services, Dr. Becky Kaczmarski. Thank you for coming with me today.
I'm so happy to be here. These podcasts are really something special. We enjoy doing them.
Definitely. I think it's a lot of information. I think it's fun to do them, and we love talking about what we do. So I'm glad to have everyone join us again.
Me too. It's a very nice casual setting that we can have a nice conversation.
Absolutely. I think this topic today is probably one of my favorites, because I know in the clinic we hear lots of things that people say. There's lots of myths about hearing aids and hearing loss. So I think our goal today is to debunk some of those myths.
Right, because there's really good answers to these questions, and you get on the internet, and sometimes their answers are not quite right. So we're going to answer them correctly today.
Definitely. So here to set the record straight.
Right, exactly. Debunk the myths.
Yes. So let's get started. I think the first one that we hear is that hearing aids don't help. They just make everything louder.
Right. We hear that one a lot.
Yes.
And years ago, early hearing aids back in the 50s and 60s did just make things louder. It's like an AM transistor radio, just turning things up with a plain little hearing aid. But nowadays, we are very choosy about what we amplify. It's like taking the right pieces of the speech and amplifying them for each individual person, where we amplify the soft things. We don't need to amplify the loud things. We can use compression to amplify just the soft things. So there's a certain window for each individual that we amplify and keep everything comfortable. And so we amplify the soft things more than the loud things. Also, hearing aids are much more automatic than they used to be. We can still put a volume control on a hearing aid if they are requested. Some people like to have some control, but I like to think of there's no reason for that, because a normal hearing person doesn't have a volume control. Why should a person that uses a hearing aid have a volume control? So we make things very automatic. So the audiologists at Kaczmarski Hearing Services do all the work, so you don't have to. So we get those settings correctly, so nothing's ever too soft and nothing's ever too loud. It's always comfortable, just like it was when your hearing was normal.
And I think another thing too is, you know, a lot of times our hearing is different from one ear to the other, whereas before everything was just amplified equally, whereas now we're able to prescribe for the individual ear.
Right.
So if the hearing is different, then we can balance that. So balance is good. Mm-hmm. We want the balance. Mm-hmm. So we're able to accomplish that.
It's true. And everybody's likes and dislikes are different. Some people love loud sounds, and some people are very sensitive to loud sounds, where their height of sound or the window of sound is much larger, and some people's window of sound is very, very minimal. So we can adjust that to everybody's different likes and dislikes.
Definitely. I think I always say that we have to match prescription and perception of sound, and we have to meet in the middle. So
well,
that's really what our job is as your providers here, as your audiologists, to make that work.
Once again, we can see 10 people in a day with the same test results, and they all do differently because we're really working with the brain, and the brain is what's doing the interpreting and the likes and dislikes. So the hearing test is just a start, and we like to then get to know the patients and what their likes and dislikes are.
Definitely. So yes, they're not just amplifiers. There's a lot more to it.
Right.
So that's why it's so important to come somewhere you're comfortable and you can come back for those adjustments. And I think we do a great job of that here.
We do. And it takes a few appointments to let that happen. So there's nothing like your own kitchen, your own car, your own backyard to really experience things in your environment. Maybe you have high ceilings in your house, or sometimes a louder car or a softer car makes a difference. So we need to have the patients come back, and so we can make those adjustments specifically to somebody's lifestyle. So it's very, very important to us.
Very good. Ready for the next one?
No, not only that, we have a lot of experience here. Sometimes when you, it's not cookie cutter. So if you go to a provider at Kaczmarski Hearing Services that's got the experience that they've seen things before, they know that what a description of the hearing aid is. If something's the newspaper is too loud, we know what to do. If running water is too sharp, we know what to do. So experience level makes a big difference on the audiologist's part in adjusting those settings on the hearing aids. So it's helpful.
Definitely. It's hard to adjust something we don't understand.
Right.
So
right.
It's important. Okay, next one, Becky, you ready?
Yep, number 2.
All right. So hearing aids are really noticeable.
Once again, years ago, maybe they were, and that's what people remember. And sometimes in movies, they want them to be noticeable. So they use really ugly hearing aids so somebody will know that they have a hearing aid, or in comedy or in cartoons, that kind of thing. But nowadays, they're very, very discreet. They're small. They're camouflage. We like to match the colors to the skin tones and sometimes to the hair tones. And they go way deep into the ear. And the custom fit hearing aids are very, very comfortable as well. So a well-fit hearing aid with good plumbing looks good and sounds good.
Definitely. They're not the monstrosities that we used to think of, those big boxes behind the ear, right, where everyone notices. I know most of my patients say that my family didn't even know.
Right.
Except they noticed I was hearing better.
Yes.
And
yes.
I said, well, sometimes it's fun just not to tell them, right?
Although one time I had a patient who wore a red hearing aid because he was a Red Wings fan. So he wanted the world to know everything he had was red, including his hearing aid. So sometimes we want them to be noticed, but most people like them to be discreet, because when you look at somebody, you look at their eyes when you converse with them and connect with them. You don't want them to be distracted by looking at your ears and wondering what that is. So these days, no, the hearing aids are very, very discreet.
And they're getting smaller all the time.
Right, and we're very good at that. We've seen a million ears in our practice, and we know when we see an unusual shaped ear what to do. And so we always watch that.
All right, what about hearing aids whistling? I think for years we've heard about they can't hug somebody, you walk through a doorway, they're always whistling. Tell me about that.
Well, that's because it really was a problem.
It was.
Everybody knew about it, and that's literally called feedback. And feedback is... To me, a leak. It's when the sound goes back to the microphone. So you have to have good plumbing to have the sound stay into the ear and be directed correctly toward the eardrum and not leak out of the ear. So years ago, the technology, the more power you had, the more apt it was to leak out of the ear. So now we have the technology to digitally cancel that feedback. And most hearing aids today have that inside the technology where we run it's called a feedback loop test, and then it will detect the whistle and then it will cancel it before it happens. So hugging somebody isn't an issue anymore with the whistling. When you put a telephone up to the ear, it won't whistle like it used to. So it used to be a big problem. That's why we used to hear about it all the time. But nowadays, a well-fit, correctly programmed hearing aid shouldn't whistle unless you put your hand right on it and make it whistle. Sometimes you can still make it whistle, but we don't want it to do the whistle in inopportune times when you don't want it to happen. So we have really tackled that problem. It's just not an issue anymore.
I know I actually had patients that were like, I'm not sure this hearing aid's working because they weren't whistling when they were putting their hands up to it. But I had to explain that's the goal is to not whistle anymore. So yeah, we made huge leaps there.
Used to be that you check your battery that way.
Yeah.
You know, beep, beep, put your hand up to your ear and you hear a little whistle, but that's not your battery checker anymore.
No, we have other ways.
Right.
So what about the cost of hearing aids? We hear these myths all the time that, oh, they just cost too much and I can't afford them.
Right. And it is an investment, but it's an investment that will afford you a better lifestyle, and that's what we're in. That's what we're all about, is improving people's hearing, but also improving their lifestyle. So you need to cost value that in your life. How much is that really worth to you? A cup of coffee a day. Yes, we need to wake up, but we also need to hear. Our hearing aids at Kazmarski Hearing Services are all digital hearing aids, and our entry level hearing aids start at $760, and that is a true digital good basic hearing aid, which will get people through most of their day beautifully, way better than not having a hearing aid at all. Then if you have the add-ons and the technology and all the different softwares, that can add up anywhere between $760 up to $3,000, $4,000 each. And everybody's lifestyle is different. That's why we always place the person into the lifestyle category of what's the most appropriate for their budget, what's the most appropriate for their lifestyle, and educate the patient so they can make their own decisions. Not only that, we have financing that we can provide for the patients so they can make payments on their hearing aids, and it's just something to plan ahead for. We participate with most major insurance companies, and we'll as a benefit to the patient, we'll check their insurance benefit and see if we can get agreement. And it's not a guarantee of a coverage, but we will ask the insurance company what the hearing benefit is, and educate the patient before we make any big decisions. So yes, it's an investment, but it's a when it's done correctly, it's so positive and so worth every penny. When it's not done correctly, it's not worth it. So affordability is a big issue, but life experience is more important than driving a new car to some people. Mm-hmm. So it's a big thing.
And I think that's definitely the thing is, takeaway I would say is there's different ranges, there's mm-hmm. different levels of technology. So, you know, if you're thinking, I can't afford $4,000 a hearing aid, that's okay because there's other options.
There is other options. And right, and the average life of a hearing aid is about 3 to 4 years. It used to be 5, 6, 7, 8 years, but these days the software is becoming a little bit more obsolete. So we do need to plan ahead for replacing a hearing aid every 3 to 4 years.
Definitely. Okay, so we set that one to rest here. What, this is one I like too. So hearing aids are only for older people with really severe hearing loss.
Right. Well, that's what people want to think, but yes. It's really not true. Not for me, but who wouldn't want to be connected with life? Studies these days show that a well-fit hearing aid will keep you engaged in life and cognitively aware. Letting your brain hear everything will let your brain produce your experiences better. And what that means is that you'll keep your wits about you, and you'll stay connected with people, and being able to be social is important. So the younger you start with a hearing aid, the more apt your brain's going to be able to adapt to those things. We test in the hearing test, there's two things that we look at, is the threshold of how loud things need to be, but we also look at how clear things are. And usually with a younger patient, the clarity is better, so amplifying things makes more sense and is more helpful. So the younger the patient comes in, that clarity is easier to obtain. And also it's a different generational look at the world. The older generations will do anything not to look old, and the younger generations will do anything to stay young. And staying connected will keep you stay young, help you stay young and busy and, mm-hmm. and social. And that's what makes life good.
And I think more and more patients that I've observed is they are seeking treatment sooner. So I think the whole educational component of amplifying earlier has really started to make a shift.
It is, and people are very tech savvy these days and are interested in the technology. Mm-hmm. Looking at a poster right behind you of all the technology that's inside a hearing aid, it's crazy and it's very interesting. And the audiologists at Kazmarski Hearing Services will describe those things. We have people who come in who are teachers and engineers and are very interested in all these things, and we will go deeper into the technology if somebody's interested in it. Or if they're not interested, we'll just keep it real simple and we'll just make it all automatic. But it's really, it's better for younger people to wear the hearing aids, and it just makes life easier for the rest of the family as well.
And I think the other component is the severity. You know, if we wait till it's so severe that now we're, oh, absolutely, I surrender, Sarah, I'm here. You know, at that point, how much will we be able to improve the hearing because the brain has already lost some of those connections?
And the thing that never changes is that it's a gradual hearing loss that happens over 5, 10, 15, 20 years. If it happened overnight, we'd be very, very busy. People would be very alarmed about their hearing loss. But it's so gradual that people are coping. I'm getting by, but then they don't realize to what degree that is affecting other people. So the gradualness is always something we're battling. But I wouldn't want anybody to have a severe, sudden hearing loss, but those are the people who know that the difference. So the time and the gradualness is just important to get it on paper. You may not need a hearing aid yet, but if you notice some subtle changes, let's get the hearing test done, and we can always watch things and see if there's any patterns or something we need to do medically. So it's really important to get that baseline hearing test, even if it's normal, to show that it's normal and watch if there's any changes or patterns.
Okay, we have a couple more here. Yep. So I'd like to talk about, I only need one hearing aid even though there is a hearing loss in both ears. Tell me about that.
Well, if I walked around with an earplug in one ear and I had normal hearing, I would not be hearing the world like I'm supposed to. So that right there will show people that you do need two ears to put your spatial abilities in where you belong in the world. So if I have two ears, I can hear the traffic on my left side and I can hear the bird chirping on the upper right side, and I can identify those things. People with one hearing loss in one ear have a difficult time in background noises. And that's another proof that we need two ears in order to sift out the mud of this and hear the speech when everything's happening like that. So two ears will give the brain much more information to sift through what is the most important thing that we want to hear. Like if you're listening to the symphony and you want to hone in on the tuba, you can pull that out better with two ears. With one ear, it's more of a blend. And the two ears is why we have two ears. It just makes things better. It's just a much more natural sound quality, and it gives people a lot more directionality of where things are.
Definitely. And I think the brain gets confused when there's the stimulation to one side and then there's not the stimulation. So then even with the one, we're still not understanding to our full potential.
It's really true. And one of the ways I see that now, and I never thought I would, is there's technology now that gives the telephone pickup in both hearing aids. And that just gives the person even more information to use the telephone and hear on the telephone correctly. Because with a hearing loss, using a telephone is difficult because you can't see the person and you're losing a lot of the hand gestures and the eyebrows and facial expression. When you can hear the person on the phone in both ears, that's something that hearing aids can do for people to hear better on the telephone. Using two ears.
Two ears are better than one.
Two ears are better than one. So are two eyes.
Well, that's what I want to talk about next, mm-hmm. is the whole reference to glasses.
Oh, good.
So
good.
Hearing aids are like glasses. I should be able to put them on and hear perfectly right away.
Well, we would all be very, we all have a lot of time off if that were the case, because hearing aids are not like glasses. Hearing aids, I liken that to more like macular degeneration, when we have a damaged system. And we are trying to push $1 million signal through a damaged system. It's still never going to be perfect. Where when you put on glasses, it's correcting the vision. We are not correcting hearing. We are aiding it. And it's up to the brain to finish the job. And if there's any pathways in the brain that are not interpreting things clearly, or discrimination of speech isn't as clear as it used to be, it's going to have some limits. So working with a provider at Kazmarski Hearing Services, who knows how to adjust things to optimize those signals for the brain to use, it's just a better experience. So I wish putting on hearing aids was like throwing on some reading glasses, but it's really not. It's such an individual thing. And I go right back to the fact that it's like we're working with the brain. We're working with the ear that connects with the brain. And that's where all the magic happens. So it's something that we're very aware of at Kazmarski Hearing Services.
I think I always talk about how long you're wearing the hearing aids every day. There's actually a system in the hearing aid that can track the number of hours. It's not anything Big Brother. It doesn't tell us who you're talking to or what you're saying. But, you know, I liken that to, it's not like reading glasses. The more you have them on, the more your brain can acclimate to sound and you have that stimulation. So it's important, just like reading glasses where you only take them on and off, it's important to leave the hearing aids on for the better part of the day.
It's really true, because if you lose your hearing gradually and you give it back with hearing aids immediately, your brain's going to say, whoa, what is, I hear the refrigerator motor, I hear the traffic outside, I can hear myself breathe. Well, we aren't used to hearing those little things, so wearing the hearing aids full time will give the brain a chance to figure things out. So we recommend full time use right away.
Okay, well, I think we set the record straight today on some of these myths. So we debunked the myths.
Seven myths, all gone. We should write a book.
Yes.
But seven myths, I have some serious answers to them. It's not just a hobby. It's something we do at Kazmarski Hearing Services that really, really matters. And we change people's lives every day. And it's very, very rewarding. And when it's done right, it's just such a positive experience.
Definitely. Well, I think this has really helped. I think it's good information, and I know myself, I get to see lives changed every day, and I don't think that feeling ever gets old. You know,
right.
It's something that we as providers here, we really enjoy getting to touch people's lives.
It's true. Sometimes we'll see somebody come, and they're not friendly, and they're stiff, and you can tell they don't want to be here. And an hour later after their appointment, they're joking around with us and their shoulders are relaxed and they're just a whole different personality because they're hearing better. And those are the rewarding feelings that we get every day here at Kazmarski Hearing Services.
So if somebody is noticing that they're not hearing as well as they used to, or they want to establish that baseline like right. you were discussing, how would they go about making an appointment here?
Well, our website, kazmarskihearing.com, K-A-C-Z-M-A-R-S-K-I, hearing.com, is a wealth of information. Lots of these myths are on there, and lots of videos and information is on our website. And also, just make that call and just dial up 616-538-8220 and make an appointment for a hearing test. We'll check your insurance and get your information about what's covered on your insurance and get you a hearing test on the schedule. It takes about an hour, and it's a very good learning situation. We'll educate you on what your present situation is and what recommendations we would have. And then we let you go to think about things. If you have any questions, you come back and we can go ahead with things. It's just very, very important to just get that hearing test on paper. Even if it's normal, it's good to have that information to know when it was normal, if it changes, and when.
Thank you so much, Becky. It's been a pleasure. This has been a lot of fun.
I
look forward to our next one.
It is very fun. I hope you enjoy this and as much as we do, and we'll see you in next time. We'll hear you next time.
Sounds great. Thanks, Becky.
Thank you, Sarah.